This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
So if someone's interested in getting started in writing, I encourage you to do so. I always feel like people are afraid to step out in faith, even though they feel that urging from the Holy Spirit to do something. If you have a story to tell, there's nobody who can tell it better than you. Now, listen, I do ghostwriting for people because they just feel like they don't have the time or they don't have the skills to write. And I've done that for lots of celebrities and things. And that is something I'm happy to do. But if you feel like God has called you to write, then there's so much information out there. You can get on and in your jammies at home and take conferences. There's all kinds of virtual conferences. In fact, I'm a part of one this Saturday. There are lots of times you can just get online and for very little money, just learn in your PJs. So I think I probably have 10 or 15 classes out there myself. And then like I met you at the writers conference, going to some of those writers conferences, like the Florida Christian Writers Conference, and there are hundreds of them. Go to one specific for your genre. Lots of children's writing conferences if you want to write for kids. And that's where you're going to meet some people that can really help you and network with those who know more than you do. And I always say, if you're the smartest person in your circle, you need to find a new circle. So find that circle of people who know more about writing than you do. And then you can come up to that level.
I
have writing resources on my website too. Feel free to download those for free.
Oh yeah. Say that quote again though. You said something about the circles. What did you say?
Yeah. So if you're the smartest person in your circle, you need to find a new circle. that has helped me my entire life. And usually I don't have much trouble because I'm not usually the smartest person in my circle. So I like to hang out with people who are really overachievers. And that's really has paved the road to my career. Learning from people who know more than I do. And you have to be humble enough to say, hey, I definitely need to come up in this area. Teach me, Obi-Wan, help me with this, and be willing to then receive that help. And so people are always surprised to learn that I'm still taking seminars myself, sitting in my jammies, learning more about things that I didn't come up with. Like, we didn't do email funnels and things to get more people to follow you when I was coming up in the business. We didn't even have email. So I've had to learn how to do a lot of these new techie things that we didn't have to do when I was coming up in this business. And I don't want to be a dinosaur. So I just keep learning. I keep learning so that I can continue to minister. So don't be afraid to step out in faith and always be willing to learn.
Well, I think in your class that I took a few months ago at that convention for writers, you said something about reels. And so what I've been doing now is making these short reels and putting them on Facebook and Instagram. Yes. And it amazes me. Hundreds and hundreds of views within minutes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I posted one the other day.
That's exactly right. Reels, if your listening audience doesn't know what that is, they probably do. But those are the little videos that you'll see on Instagram and on Facebook and then also on TikTok. But they're just little short videos, different lengths, a couple seconds, couple minutes, 5 minutes. You can put them on YouTube as well. And research has told us in the last few years that more people are apt to watch a video, as long as it's short enough, than to read a big, long post that you might make. So video is definitely the way to go, especially if you can hook them right in the beginning, something funny. Or I just made a video to promote this virtual conference, and I have a new puppy that we got for Christmas, and I had the puppy in it. I'm like, I'm just going to do some shameless puppy promotion because I know they'll stop and look at the puppy, yes. Whatever it takes to get people interested. But that's right. I'm glad you're doing that. That's great.
Shameless using a puppy. That's funny because they said that a male who is seen with either a bunch of flowers under his arm has an 80% increase in positive perception if he's holding a baby or he's got a dog on a leash. So I have billboards in the area that promote my show. I thought I should take a picture of me with a baby in one arm, flowers in the other, and the dog beside me. I said, I can't lose,
That's smart marketing right there. I have to give my hats off. That's good.
Well, the lone male, is ostracized in today's society, especially a lone white male as suspect. And we're at the bottom of the barrel, so we have to do something to increase our image at this point. Now, speaking of being a male, female, there's a lot of confusion being allowed in the world today I couldn't even decide when I was 6 years old what I should have for dinner, let alone decide a future sexuality. I didn't even know about sex. I'm glad I didn't know about it till I was 12 or 13. I got to be a child, thank God. But I know that at Barnes & Noble now, they're separating the children's books. And if you're Christian, they will still hold them, but they put them in the Christian section. They won't put them in the children's section because, you know, Jesus said the world hates me because I show them that their deeds are evil. So it's there's such an spirit of Antichrist going around. Are you actively writing more books that will glorify the natural act of marriage?
You know, that is such a important point you're making. I hadn't encountered any of that kind of attitude early in my career, but in the last 5 years, it's been more and more really completely against some of the books that we're doing that have a Christian label or faith-based label. And we're conscious of that. And here's the deal. I still want to be on that big picture book wall in the back of Barnes & Noble. Yeah. And I have several books that are general market that have good morals in them, but they don't mention the name of Jesus. And that's how you sneak in the message without having scripture or prayer. Yeah. But we are certainly not hiding our light under a bushel. Like, here's a good example. We did a book called Fly High that is helping children learn how to process grief and loss. There was so much loss during this COVID situation the last few years. In fact, my brother-in-law passed away from COVID. So we saw it in our church. He was also our pastor. Oh. And I knew that we needed to have more books out there, especially with not just a worldview, but a Christian worldview about how do you deal with grief. So because I was even struggling with it and as an adult. Sure. And so I looked and I looked and I found a couple, but they were really dated. And so this gal named Jan Johnson met me at another writer's conference in North Carolina and said, hey, I'm a grief specialist. And I feel like there needs to be a book out there for kids about grief from a Christian worldview. And God had just been talking to me about this. And I said, oh my, she said, would you want to write that with me? I'm like, absolutely. Like, this is so amazing. It's such a God thing. One of those divine appointments. So Jane and I wrote this book and Endgame Press published it, came out in this summer. And we have two versions. We have a general market version. And then we have Fly High, Understanding Grief with God's Help, the Christian version. It's the same story. And there are questions and prompts and discussions. And the Christian version, there are prayers and scriptures. But we needed to have a version that we could sneak into the schools and the hospitals and any place that would not allow us to have scripture and prayers in it. So we do what we have to do to get the word out there in the best way that we can. But yes, we have definitely faced some opposition. Wow. And from pretty high and mighty people, I might add, upset with us about doing some Christian things. But we're going to keep doing it because that's what God's called us to do.
Well, you know, my father was an attorney at law, graduated Syracuse, but was violently killed in a car accident the day before my 5th birthday. I'm now an older guy. My mom's gone. My brother's gone. My stepfather's. I mean, everybody's gone. Grandma, grandpa, everybody. So, you know, I will admit that every day I walk under a cloud of grief. It's the days, even the sunny days here in Florida, sometimes just not as bright. But of course, God says his promise in the Bible is that the last enemy of God will be destroyed, and that enemy is death. And so it's hard, though, because my mother used to say death is so final. And now she's, asleep in the ground. As Jesus said, the dead are aware of nothing until the day of resurrection. Now, for them, I presume it's instantaneous, as Paul said, you know, to be dead is to be with Christ. But it's just so severe. A voice, I was with a 96-year-old friend yesterday, and he was saying, you know, it's just, by that age, you've lost a lot of people. He's still running his real estate firm at 96. And he said, you know, it's just that when, you know, you never know when you, all of a sudden, your last conversation with somebody, and boom, they're gone. And like you said, lost a lot of people from COVID. I've lost a whole lot of people this summer. And we're all grieving in a way. So this Fly High, maybe it's something even adults should do. Because when I was a child, and I said the day before my 5th birthday, I lost my dad, there was nothing like that for me. No one ever spoke to me about grieving. No one ever counseled me. No one ever consulted me or comforted me about it. It was just, and people wanted to keep their distance from talking about it then, you know? He lost his father. We don't bring that up, you know?
And that's the worst thing, because kids do need to talk about it, and they need to process, and they need to grieve openly, and they need to tell when they're angry. You know, that we study the stages of grief, and one of them is anger. So when kids are acting out and being angry, it's okay, because that's part of the grieving process. And it's okay to be upset. And it's all those stages and the bargaining and all those stages that we go through. And I think that's why this Fly High book has been, in fact, it was one of the Christianity Today top 4 books of the year.
Which,
I've done over 100 books. I've never had a book hit that list, but Fly High did this year. It didn't win the top children's book, but it was one of the 4.
Wow.
And I think the reason that for that is because there's a need. And because of the way God had us to write this, the story is about cardinals. And I love red birds. I'm a big fan of birds. I like to feed the birds. And the older I get, the more I love to do that. But the mama cardinal has basically dies. And so if you know anything about birds, daddy cardinals also are involved in feeding the young, and they stick around after the babies are born. So this brother and sister are watching. They are so grieved over this little bird dying because they've been feeding it. And so the mom's helping them walk through this, and they begin to minister to the dad bird, you know, making sure there's suet out there and there's black oil bird seed and that there's water. And they watch these little eggs become birds. And then they watch these little birds eventually get strong and fly high, and they fly away. And so there are lots of lessons in that. But if you didn't even read all the side stuff with all the questions and the discussion things that prompts that parents can do or the caregivers can do with their kids, the story itself speaks volumes and leaves hope in the children's heart. But what we're hearing from people who are getting this book is adults, when you're reading a children's book, all of your defenses are down. You know, often as adults, we put these walls up. We don't want to talk about things. We're kind of hardened because we don't be hurt again. And grief is one of those things that does that to us. But when you're reading a children's book with somebody that you love very much on your lap, your defenses are down. And so we're hearing from these adults who said, I got this from my daughter or from my granddaughter, and I wept like a baby. It completely ministered to me. Thank you for writing this. And the reason I knew it would do that is because it did it for me as I wrote it, as I grieved my brother-in-law, who, I mean, we were so close. And he was our pastor. And I didn't understand why he had to go before his time. We're not always going to understand the reasons, but this book will help you make that next step. I don't have to understand, but I have to understand that God loves me through this.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cover, too. Award finalist, Fly High, Christianity Today Book Awards. Maybe we can bring that up onto the screen so people can see that. People, by the way, I want to inject this once in a while. We're talking with Michelle Medlock Adams, and she's a top-selling Christian author, writes a lot of children's books, has 112 books to her credit. What is your website?
It is michellemedlockadams.com, and that's Michelle with two L's, and it's MEDLOCKAdams.com.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Jesus, I am thirsty, I am learning, had a hunger for more of you. You are the water, and you offer life that is making me new. Spirit, come, fill up my lungs with air, my voice with prayer, and my mouth with praise. Fill up my heart with song, for the journey is long, and I